couple weeks ago, I began to talk to you about the integrity of the Word of God. And so I'm going to pick up there and I want to remind you. Remember we started with in the Gospel of John, we said this, Jesus is the Word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Everybody say, Jesus is the Word. So Jesus is that Word. The Bible says there's three in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. So Jesus is the Word made flesh, came and dwelt among us. He wears a banner that says Word of God. I'm telling you that what I really want you to get from this as we begin to look at this again is I want to remind you of how important and how powerful the Word of God is. You call it the Bible, and that's fine, but it is the Word of God. It was breathed from the mouth of God, and this is something that will change your life forever. Amen. The Word of God is just so very important. The Bible says about itself, about the Word of God, that it never returns void. It'll always accomplish what it was sent to do. In other words, the Word of God is the most powerful thing on the earth. It can never fail. The Word of God can never fail. The Word of God will never, ever fail. He said, it'll never return void. It'll always accomplish what it was sent to. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words, they'll never pass away. The only thing that can really mess up the Word of God is the traditions of men. The Bible says the traditions of men make the Word of God of no effect. So we need to keep the Word pure, not mix our tradition, not mix our religious traditions in with it, because it'll cause the Word of God to be null of power. But you and I are endeavoring to make sure that we believe the Word of God, that we talk the Word of God, and we act on the Word of God. And then do y'all remember a couple weeks ago, we all decided that we were going to be doers of the Word. Y'all remember we decided that? They decided. Did y'all remember that we decided that we're going to be doers of the Word? Because Jesus gave us an illustration. We often look at it. He gives an illustration of two houses. And he talks about that storms come. How many of you know that storms come to everybody's life? It doesn't matter who you are, there's a storm coming. Well, that's not, I don't want you prophesying that over me. I don't have to prophesy it over you. You live here. And so since you live on the earth, storms come to everybody. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous in a good way, and storms come to everybody. God doesn't cause them. The Father doesn't cause them, but because you have an enemy. Did you know you had an enemy? What does your enemy want to do? He wants to steal, kill, or destroy. And so he's serious about it. And so you've got to get serious about it. So Jesus said this. There are two people who are building a house, and that represents your life. He said one of them heard the word, another one did the word. Now listen, the same storm came. And so I just want to reiterate to you the importance of not only, I'm so grateful you're all here. So grateful the first service came. So grateful you all came. So grateful you came for the glorious friends. So, you know, I know many of you, you'll, you know, maybe watch some preachers on TV or get your iPhone and you know, hear somebody preach, and that's good. But hearing is just the beginning. Because in this illustration, in this parable Jesus is talking about, this warning really, he's saying storms are coming. And it's going to rain. And it's going to flood. And it's going to try to destroy your house. But he said, basically, I got good news for you. If you'll do my word, the rains can come, the floods can come, and the winds can blow, but it's not going to knock your house down. It's not going to knock your house down. But he said this, those who only hear the word. So it's good to hear. It's only the beginning, though. But if all we ever do is hear it and never do it, then we deceive ourselves, and the Bible says the destruction of that house will be great. Because, so I want you, I just want to stir you up today about the Word of God. Is that all right? I want to go back. It reminds me of an NFL player. It reminds me, and I've talked to a few of them, somebody else who's a professional athlete. One of the things they say is you always have to stay with the fundamentals. How many of you know, like a skyscraper, you ever been to a big city, New York, Chicago? As tall as the building goes up is as deep as it goes down. Maybe not exactly mirrored, But if you're going to build a skyscraper, you're going to have quite a foundation. And everybody, speaking of our lives, we want to have this big, full life. But in order to have it, you've got to have a deep foundation. And in order to make that foundation, you and I have to be a doer of the word. So I want everybody to confess again, I am a doer of the word. And so my purpose today is to stir you up about the word of God. My purpose is to remind many of you. My purpose is to tell some of you what the word of God is and why it's so valuable and so important. Jesus said this in Matthew 4:4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How many of you are going to eat today? Anybody going to eat some food? I'm thinking a steak is in order. But anyway, Mother's Day, a steak for me. Hallelujah. But we're going to eat. Now, I don't know about y'all. I can look out among you and see y'all kind of like me. Most of you look like you eat 3 squares or 4 a day. How many of you eat food? How many of you eat it regularly? How many of you eat it more than 1 time a day? Uh-huh. Right? So we eat. But Jesus is saying, because he knows humanity, there is no moderation. But you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? He knows what he's talking about, and he's saying, in the same manner you eat food, you better eat the word of God. And I was just telling the first service, I'm going to tell you all, as many times as you and I eat, we ought to eat the word of God with it. But this is what happens. And I appreciate you all being here, and I appreciate you coming on Wednesday nights. But if that's all the words you get, you're not going to have what the Bible promises you. I do my best to feed you hot food. All right, I do my best. And I do it every time, and the people I bring in to give you hot food. But if that's how you and I ate naturally, you wouldn't be healthy. If you ate one good meal, if you had a great meal, just one, if you went to the buffet and ate one great meal a week, you would not be a healthy person. And so he's liking it unto that. He wants you to be spiritually healthy. Right? And really, you can take this a lot of different ways, but even with your diet, I mean, you're supposed to eat good food. And the same thing, the Word of God is good food for you. It'll help you. So Jesus said what? Man shall not live by natural food alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let's look at John 17:17. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. Everybody say, the word is truth. Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, you and I are surrounded by facts. We're surrounded by facts and circumstances and words and opinions. We have never lived in a time when more opinions are available for you to digest. Everybody's got one. Because all you got to do is like type it in and send it. You don't have to be responsible for it or anything. It doesn't even have to be true. It doesn't even have to be based on facts. You can just have an opinion. But Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So in this day that we live in, the truth of the word of God has got to become our standard. This is the truth. Anything that doesn't line up with this is a lie. Even if it's a fact, facts can be changed, but they can be changed only by the truth. You and I have got a lot of facts in our life we'd like to change, but what'll do it? Jesus said, sanctify, set them apart. How do you set them apart? He said, with the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the word of God. Everybody say it again, the word of God is truth. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done for you. This word, I just want to stir you up today about the word of God. This word, we're supposed to eat it, more than natural food. It is the truth. And he said, then if you let it abide in you, if you let it live in you, if I abide in you and my words abide in you, if the word of God is living on the inside of you, then he tells us this, which was just, it's just incredible. You'll ask what you will and it shall be done. You ask whatever you want and it shall be done. Jesus said this. And you can qualify for this when you become one with the Word of God. It's that powerful. It's that effective. It controls your life. If you abide in Him and His words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. The Word of God is that powerful. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which lives and abides forever. So the Word of God is incorruptible, and I like to say indestructible. The Word of God, in other words, with this seed, if you planted a tomato seed, there is a small chance there's something wrong with that seed. But there is nothing ever wrong with this seed. This word is incorruptible. This word is indestructible. This word always comes to pass. So if I plant a tomato seed, what should I get? I should get a tomato. If I planted an acorn, what should I get? I should get an oak tree, right? And we expect that from a natural seed. Even more, this word, this seed is incorruptible. It has the DNA. This word, 1 Peter 2:24, is a seed. And if you will plant that seed in your heart, if you'll plant that seed in your mouth, if you'll begin to go with that seed, then it'll produce what it was sent to do because it is indestructible and it is incorruptible and it will not fail. The Word of God will never fail. It is incorruptible, indestructible. It is a seed, and it will always come to pass. Amen. It says we're born again. You were born again. The greatest miracle in your life came from a seed. Anybody remember John 3:16? Do you remember it? What is it? Well, for God so loved the world, right? You know it. But what is it? It's a seed. You heard it. Somebody sowed a seed in your life. Somebody sowed a seed in your heart. And there was power in that seed to produce your new birth. There was power in that seed. Listen to me. When you plant a tomato seed, I love tomatoes. Not the kind, not the not done kind you get at the grocery store. I like the kind in the garden that you can just take just wipe them off. Bite into a little salt, not much, just a little salt. Oh my goodness, that's a mater, not a tomato. That's a mater. Hallelujah, right? Thank God for that seed that produced that. But even greater than that seed is the seed of the Word of God. And look, see, when you plant a tomato seed, you can see beyond it. That one seed is going to produce a plant. It's going to produce 10 to 15 beautiful tomatoes for me to eat. But John 3:16, that seed produced something greater. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That was in that seed. Eternal life was in that seed. It had to be planted. It had to be received. It had, and yet it's incorruptible. It's indestructible. It's you were born again. Put that back up. But you were born again. 1 Peter 1:23. You were born again. How? With an incorruptible seed, not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God. Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures how long? This seed never goes bad. Some people have laid aside the seeds of the Word of God, and they haven't picked them up. But as soon as you pick them up, as soon as you plant them, as soon as you start to work them, the Bible says the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's look at John chapter 8. Just want to stir you up about the Word of God today. Just trying to remind you about this Word that you believe in, this Word that you love. Because see, if I'm telling you these things and you're getting excited again, you love the Word of God. you love the, because this should excite you who love the Word of God. This is reminding you what this Word does for me. Amen. And then maybe if you've gone a little, your well's a little dry, I'm here to put some water in it and prime your pump a little bit and remind you what will deliver you, remind you what will help you. It's only the Word of God. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my Word, if you continue in my word, not just begin, but if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you'll know the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's something in a seed. God has delivered. God does deliver, and he will yet deliver you. That's a seed. And if you sow that seed into your heart, what's going to happen? Deliverance is going to come. Deliverance is going to come because it is a seed. And if you continue in the word, you're his disciples, and you're going to know the truth, and the truth's going to do what? It's going to make you free. It's going to keep you free. It's going to set you free. But you've got to know the word, and you got to continue. In other words, you got to keep sowing the seed into your heart. Psalms 119, verse 115, 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a... So a lot of times in our lives, we need direction. And the Holy Ghost will speak to us, and we have a witness on the inside of us. But the word itself is a light. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the more seed I get into me, automatically my light will get brighter and brighter and brighter. In other words, I don't have to stumble. I don't have to fumble. I don't have to fall on my face. I don't have to do all those things if I've got the word of the Lord, if I've got the seed of the word of God. When I take that seed, and the more seed I get, the bigger my lamp is, and the bigger my light is, and the clearer my path is. I said the bigger my lamp gets, and the clearer my path gets for me, because the word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130 says this, the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So when you let the word, when you, this Bible, I know some of you have iPads and phones now, but I still like paper. And so this Bible, this is a bag of seeds. This is a bag of seeds. And a seed not sown, a seed not received, no matter what it could produce, will produce nothing. If we just leave, this is a seed bag. This is God's thoughts. This is God's dreams for you. This is God's hopes for you. This is God's expectations for you. This is God prophesying to you about your future. And he put it in a seed form. And he put it in a seed form that everybody could have it. Every born-again believer can have everything that's written herein, because these are seeds. And seeds, remember his word, never returns void. It's incorruptible. It's indestructible. This seed has the ability to produce, like a tomato can produce tomatoes. This can produce health. This can produce wealth. This can produce peace. This can restore a marriage. This can make your mind that's crazy and wants to do stupid stuff think right and act right. Amen. This can do all of that, but it's in seed form. Everybody wants the oak tree, but you got to plant an acorn. I want a tomato, but I got to plant the tomato seed. And this word, the way it works, the way it's set up, it's an indestructible seed, but it has to be planted. And if you continue in it, if you do what, if you'll get it, this is a bag of seeds. And you got to take the seeds out and get them from the page, or get them off your iPhone and get them in your heart. And we're going to talk about that another day probably. But the word of God, the entrance of the word of God. So I've got to take it from here and let it enter into my heart. And when I get the entrance, when it enters in my heart, Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of his word, that's what brings the light. So this is light, or this can direct your path, and this can direct your light. But if it stays in the book, if it stays in your iPad, if it doesn't go through one of your gates, you have an eye gate, you have an ear gate, you have a mouth gate. One of those gates goes down, all three of those gates go down into your heart where the soil is. And you got to get the seed from here through one of those gates down into you. It won't do you any good to be a hearer only. It'll not do you any good for this bag of seeds, which is awesome. It's amazing. Can change your life forever. But if you don't do anything with it, if you don't plant it, if you don't water it, if you don't watch over it, then it can't produce. It's not that it's not the will of God, because these seeds are the will of God. Or it can be eaten by acorn, can produce an oak tree. Or it can be eaten by a squirrel. I know this because in my backyard, I hate those stupid acorns. Now, it's fun to watch when the mower comes and, like, you got to scatter because you can get killed. And they're cute. You ever seen those little acorns? God put a little hat on them. I don't know why he did that. Why is there a little hat on them? They have a little hat. But if they get into a soil, but that huge oak tree that puts all those things down in my yard and brings 10,000 squirrels. Okay, that's an exaggeration. 100 squirrels. Well, it seems like it. They love to eat them. But if one gets in the soil and they forget about it, what happens? Suddenly something starts growing up and it gets these little leaves on it. And it's not a weed. It's a future tree. And if I just leave it alone, a few years, maybe a lot of years. But see, that's sometimes what we don't like. How many of you like the immediate and instantaneous? I love that. But if you start with the Word of God as seed, some things take a little while. But it doesn't mean it's not growing. And doesn't mean it's not going to produce. Amen? Because it's a seed. James chapter 1, 23 through 25. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, goes away, straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But who looks into, and this is what I wanted to get to, who looks into the perfect law of liberty? So the seed of the word of God is the perfect law of liberty. And if you continue therein and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deed. So there's lots of things we can look at there, but I just want to look at this one. The word of God, the seed, is the perfect, wow, that's a big word, perfect. The perfect law, I know people don't like that word today, but it's a law. In other words, it always works. Of what? Liberty. So this seed, these seeds are full of liberty. These seeds are full of freedom. These seeds are full of all the good things that God has for you. And when we learn to do correctly with the seed, if we're not just, what is he saying again? He said, don't hear it only, but do it. Put it into practice. And when you do, that perfect law of liberty, and we continue therein, it'll cause freedom in our lives. You know, the word of God is so powerful, this seed. Just other ways to look at the word of God, but Hebrews 4 and 12 says this, that for the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the deciding asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, your soul and your spirit are so intertwined, there's only one thing that can distinguish between the two of them. And they are two separate things. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. But the spirit of man and the soul of man are so intertwined that the only thing that can accurately separate it so you can tell what's your soul, what's your alma, and what's your spirit, suke, whatever that is, and it's kind of messy in there, but you can take the word to it, and it's the only thing that can divide it. It's the only thing you can divide. Why a lot of Christians just live by their emotions. One day I'm happy with Jesus. One day I'm sad. One day I'm mountaintop. The next day I'm in the valley low. What is that? That's a carnal Christian who is led by his emotions. The only way to get rid of that is to take the word of God, which is a sword, a two-edged sword. That word two-edged is distamos. It means two-mouthed. He say, you say. And you take that sword and it'll divide like filleting a piece of meat almost, filleting it away, and you'll get rid of the soulish things about you and you'll begin to walk in the spirit. The word, the seed of the word of God, which is a sword, is that powerful. It's that powerful. It's how you learn to live victorious. It's how I can live victorious. Thank God the word of God is like a sword. How many of you know, even in Ephesians when it talks about, you know, the armor, talk about the loin belt being the logos of the word of God. If you don't have the logos, your whole armor is going to be a mess, because your armor is all going to fall off. The logos, which is the written word of God, is the loin belt of truth. It keeps everything strapped together. Amen. Come on, keep your drawers up. Amen. That belt keeps everything, it keeps everything together. But then it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema, which everybody gets excited about. I love a rhema. But you can never get a rhema without a logos. You can never have a spoken word without a written word. Well, I just want to be used of God. Well, then get in the word. Be a person of the word. Be a person of good doctrine. That way you won't float away. I'll just say it. You won't be part of the granola club. The nuts, the fruits, and the flakes. What holds you there is logos. The written word of God. And when you have the written word of God, then the rhema will come and bring light to the logos, and it'll cause you to live victorious. Yes, you need the loin belt of truth, and you also need the sword of the Spirit. But you got to make sure that you're strapped in first. Amen? And then when you speak the word of God, when you have the sword, the word of God is portrayed, it's portrayed in many different ways. That word, like the sword of the Spirit, it's a weapon. Now, how many of you know you have an enemy? And you have to learn to use the word. Remember when the enemy came to Jesus, he said, "It is written." It is written. It was the logos, but then as he spoke it, it became a rhema, and it caused the devil to run away. But you see, if you had a weapon, like if I had a coffee table, and I had, when I was in Nepal, we went to this one place, this store. I mean, they had knives that were gorgeous, beautiful, but I didn't want to get on a plane with one. Hallelujah. I didn't want to stay in Nepal. I wanted to come home. And so, but if I had this, you know, beautiful sword or a weapon on my coffee table, and I was like, look at that weapon. That's awesome. That's amazing. Oh, that's awesome. And then a thief came in and stole everything, and I had a weapon laying there and didn't do anything. I'm just trying to tell you that the devil's trying to come, and the Lord's telling you, you've got something. You've got the seed of the word of God, which will turn into a weapon, which will, as you speak it out of your mouth, it'll change everything. I just want to encourage you about the word of God. I want you to be excited about the word of the Lord. I want you to be excited about that it's a seed. It's a weapon. It'll change your life. Amen. I want you to be stirred up. Because, see, if I can't get you stirred up about the word, I can't get you to deeper places. I can't get you to greater places. Amen. And so we all have to do this every once in a while. And I'm just here to stir you up. I'm just here to stir you up. You know, I was thinking about the word this morning and some things I'm dealing with. And the Lord told me, he's like, you forgot one. And there's probably more than that I forgot, because there's many things you could talk about. But Psalms 107:20 came to my heart as I was getting ready. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. He said, well, that's Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is the word. But he sent 1 Peter 2:24 and healed you. He sent Matthew 8:17 and healed you. He sent Galatians 3:13 and 14 and healed you. You have to look at this written word as Jesus. They're one. He's always been the word. He still is the word. And now it's written for you. And really, this is Jesus talking to you. This is Jesus. That's why he wants you to eat it. That's why he wants you to be one with it. That's why he wants it to abide in you. Because this is him. And when you're full of him, then he can perform what he wants to do for you. Amen. He sent his word, and he did what? Healed them. And he delivered them from all their destructions. No matter what the devil tried to do, because I'm not a hearer only, I'm a doer. I'm building my life on the word of God. And when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he can't destroy my stuff. Is he going to destroy your stuff? Say he can't destroy my stuff. He's not going to take my stuff, right? And so this is what I did in first service, and this is what my heart to do. So I want everyone in the room, you can lift one hand, lift two hands, but we're just going to worship the Lord. He sent his word and healed you. He sent his word and delivered you from all your destructions. He sent a seed. He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus, the word of God. Father, we're so grateful. Lift up your voice. Father, we're so grateful that you sent your word and healed us. We receive that healing today. We're so grateful you sent your word and delivered us. You delivered us. You delivered us from all of our destructions. We worship you. We receive that seed of the word of God. We receive healing today. We receive deliverance today. We receive healing for our families today. We receive healing and deliverance for our families today. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for healing. You sent your word and healed us. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I've been talking a lot about it, so let's look at it. Let's look at this a little bit. The word of God is seed. And so we're just going to deal with the seed part of it today. Next week might look at the soil. But this week we're just going to look at the seed because I want to give reverence to the seed. I want to give reverence to the word. I want to stir us up about the word of God. So in Mark chapter 4 verse 13, he said to them, "Know ye not this parable?" And you know all the parables. The sower sows the word. And then if you look over in Mark chapter 4 verse 26 through 29, he said, "And so is the kingdom of God if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he doesn't know how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts the sickle because the harvest is come." I believe one of the things that the Lord's dealing with me about for our church and for you is there is a harvest that is available right now. There is a harvest that is available. And so this is particularly talking about the seed of the Word of God. And the seed produces things in your life. I've been saying it over and over, but a vegetable, if you put that seed in the ground, it'll produce multiple times that vegetable. I grew up in the cornfields of Illinois, surrounded every year by corn and corn. Corn on the left, corn on the right, corn everywhere. And so when they planted that corn, what happened? They put one seed in the ground. And everywhere that one seed come up, there would be a corn stalk. And then about, you know, knee-high by July. And then we get ready. And then it starts springing up. And then there's usually three ears would come on every stalk. And then as it would begin to grow, then the kernels would begin to form on that ear. How many? Well, with those three ears, thousands of kernels. That one seed, people ask me, "Do you believe in 100-fold? I believe in 1,000-fold. Don't you limit God. Amen. Don't limit God. But if he's using corn here, I mean, that one kernel can produce. But let's just keep it in seed, because a lot of times we go to money right there. But let's just keep it with the word. You put a word from the word in your heart, and it'll start to spring up. See, we want everything immediately. But everything with God is not immediate. Everything is not microwave. Sometimes healings are instantaneous. We love that. When Annie Durant was here, we had a lot of that. That was awesome. But there's some things in your life, in my life, that what do we got to do? We just keep planting. We keep planting, and it'll pop up. And then we watch over it, and we keep sowing, and we keep meditating on the word. We water it, and we water it, and it keeps coming up and coming up, and we take care of it. We keep the weeds out of it, and it's seed, and it produces, and it begins to multiply in our life. I was thinking about this last night just as I was meditating. Got home from someone's wedding, and I was just sitting meditating, and I was just thinking about, you know, 25-odd years ago when my sister drugged me to church. I came to church to make her shut up. That's the only reason I came, so she would shut up. It's not a very good reason, but it worked. And I was thinking about how I came back to the Lord and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I began to fall in love with the seed of the Word of God and how I began to plant it in my life. And I was sitting there, and because it's Mother's Day, and I was thinking about, I would have never had the wife I had. I would never have the daughter that I have. I wouldn't have all you people. I wouldn't have the blessing. I told the Lord, I mean, you took a little guy from, you know, a shy, backwards guy from the cornfields of Illinois, and you've traveled him all around the world to preach the gospel. What did that? Because of me? Because I'm amazing? No, because the seed's amazing. Amen. Because the seed's amazing, and I just happened to put it in the soil. I just happened to take him at his word, and I began to do it. But see, you can do the same thing. It doesn't have to be preaching. You could be a teenager in this room and start putting prosperity seeds in you, and one day you could have a multi-billion dollar corporation. Or you could start putting seeds in you right now, and maybe you don't have a family and you want a family, and you could have, like, let's just think big, 8 amazing children. Okay, 2. The other 6 will be okay. No, just, you know what I'm saying, though. I mean, everything is in seed form when it comes to God. Amen. So, let's go on. Verse 30. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? What can we compare it to? It's like a grain of mustard seed. And all he's saying there, it's small seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out great branches so that the fowls of the air could lodge under it. All it's saying is, it's a little bitty seed, but when you plant it and it grows up, even birds can hang out in it. Amen? Can you see the power of the seed, the power of the word? But if you don't get it out of the bag and put it in there, it will not produce anything. But it has power to do what it says that it will do. And I want you to meditate on John 3:16, how that one seed gave you eternal life, how that one seed changed your destiny, and every seed in the word of God is likened unto it. Just in closing, just real quick, I just want to remind you just some 4 quick, simple steps that you and I need to be doing on a daily basis when it comes to the word of God. Very practical, but things you know, but I want to remind you of. Number one, not to make light of it, because you got to start here. Faith comes, what does Romans 10:17 say? Faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. So you've got to be hearing the word of God. Now, I would encourage some of you to start here. The best way you can get faith quickly from the word of God is hear your own voice speak it. So, this is what I'd rather you do. Now, you know, I appreciate reading the Bible through in a year. I appreciate you getting your 3 chapters in. But if all you do is read for a religious duty, I'd rather you take 1 scripture and just work it all day. I just like, if you could take 1 scripture every day, 365 days, and get 365 seeds working in you, that would be better. Are you with me? That'd be better than reading Leviticus. Now, read Leviticus. It's good. It's in the Bible. It's important. But we're talking about how to be most effective and effectual in our time with God. And so the first thing is, if you hear the word of God, I'm glad you hear me. I enjoy you being here. And whether you know it or not, I'm up here just throwing seed at you. That's what I do every Sunday and every Wednesday. I throw seed at you. It's interesting to me, because then people wonder, well, you know, we all come to the same church. Why isn't everybody at the same level? Oh, we'll get into that next week, because everybody's soil's different. And everybody waters their stuff different. And everybody keeps the weeds out different. It's like the person with those 2 storms. They both heard the same word. Same storms, same word. One survived and thrived, one fell, and it was a great destruction. You could say 2 people sitting in the same church, hearing the same word. But one did it and one didn't do it. But you got to start with the hearing. So not to make light of hearing, you got to start with hearing. Everybody say, I'm a hearer. That's where you start, right? And then the second thing you got to do is meditate. Meditate. Joshua 1:8, familiar scripture to you. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night, that you observe to do according to all that's written therein, for you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. I could preach a couple hours off this, but just want to get to you. You'll meditate therein day and night. How long is day and night? That's kind of like all day and all night. And take a few days off in the middle. That's not what it says. So that's what I'm talking. If you just get a scripture, hear yourself get 1 scripture. Back in the early days of the charismatic move, they used to come out with this thing. It was like a box. It was like a loaf of bread. And you'd have 1 scripture, and you'd pull that scripture out, and you'd eat that for that day. In other words, you'd meditate on it. Surely with your phones and stuff, and everything you got going on. I mean, I got people sending me devotion stuff all the time. And that's good to read it, but it's better to meditate on it. What does it meditate? It's like a cow. you eat it, and you bring it up again, and you chew on it some more. Sorry. I know it's about lunchtime. Hallelujah. But a cat, you meditate on it. You mutter it. It means to mutter. It means to think on. It means to ponder. It means to imagine. It means to see it. So this seed, see it as it grows up and produces what it's supposed to produce. So meditate therein day and night. First Timothy 4:15 says the same thing. Meditate on these things. Now, Paul's talking to Timothy, a young minister, about his ministry, but even more so for you and I, meditate on what? Meditate on the Word of God. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. So Joshua, he told Joshua, and the Holy Ghost is telling Timothy through Paul, that if you'll meditate the Word of God, it'll show up. It'll show up. Your profiting will appear to all. Listen, I'm not interested in religious exercises. I'm not interested in going to church where we just do some hooping and hollering, then nobody changes. I love hooping and hollering, but I like hooping and hollering with change. I don't like to go to church and spend an hour or two and then walk away with, well, that was interesting, but it has nothing to do with my life. Amen. This word was meant to do. Amen. This word was meant to live. Amen. Amen. We teach your children what to do, how to live, so that they, so their profiting may appear to all their peers. Yes. So they can see Jesus is real, and this is the same for you and I. Amen. Meditating on the word will make it show up in your life. And everybody will have to, you know, it's like you don't have to buy the t-shirt. Because it'll just appear to all. Amen. Buy the t-shirts when we sell them. All right, number three. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. How many of y'all know the difference between reading and studying? I appreciate it. I think you should. If you've never read the Bible through in a year, you should do it. If you don't, you know, have a regular reading program, you should do it. But even more than that, you should study. It's kind of like this, you know, I know a lot of the college kids are coming home, and then the high school kids are getting ready to go to their finals. Some of you all don't remember how long ago. That's a long time for some of us. But do you remember finals? How many of you know if you were getting a test on a book, you reading it would get you a bad grade? You had to study it. I remember I was telling the first service, I tried to do it without names, and now she's not here. But Opal is one of our instructors in Bible Institute. She does Tuesday Healing School. And so it was me, Pastor Ron, and Opal, and another guy were the first instructors of the Bible Institute. And so I remember Opal brought in her first test. I think it was for Christ the Healer. And she brought me this test. And this is Bible Institute. The guy in Bible Institute, people in here? You never got this test because it was 30 essay questions. Because I told her I want 30 questions on it. Every test has 30 questions, but they're true, false, multiple choice, and fill in the blank. And it came. It's the Opal rule because Opal gave me 30 essay questions. I looked at it, and I was like, Opal, I'm the pastor of the church, and I can't answer three of these questions. I don't know. And I was like, we can't do this. And listen, this is the part that changed my life forever. She said to me, well, Pastor Mark, the devil's tests, the devil's things are much harder than this one. And I want them to pass not just this exam, but basically I want them to be prepared for when he shows up. And it really changed my life. Even kind of changed the way I preach. Because I'm trying to prepare you, God's trying to prepare you to live successfully. Where this word is applicable to your life. Where you can do it. Where you can do it. And so along the rest of that story was, that time they got to pick 15 of the 30 questions, and they still didn't get done in time. I mean, so since then, you know, we've changed how we do it, but it made such an impact on my life. The devil means to steal, kill, and destroy. We've got to have answers. We've got to know the truth. So we got to study. Everybody say study. Study. So however you do it, find some time in your day, in your week, to study so that we can be approved of God, a workman. He said, well, I'm not a pastor. This doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it does apply to you. It does apply to all of us. Then number four, we've been talking about it, being a doer. James 1:22 says, be a doer of the word. Jesus said, whoever does this, that's whose house is going to make it. So all these things working. Number one, we're going to hear the word. Number two, we're going to meditate the word. Number three, we're going to study the word. Number four, we're going to do the word. If you begin to put these in application right now, wherever you're at, whether you've been doing this a long time or you're just starting to do this, number one, you're going to hear the word. How are you going to do that? Sermons, good. Yes, I'm glad you're here. I want you to be here next week, Wednesdays, every time we got something. But even more than that, you eat more than once a day for a week, so I need you to eat. I loose you to eat the word of God and eat it on a regular basis, daily, good portions of it. Hear it. Speak it out of your own mouth. Because there's no, do I got any habitual liars in here? Oh, I saw that hand. No, I didn't see a hand. I mean, the truth is, when you hear yourself speak it, it just adds another element to it. I can't explain. But you believe what's coming out of your mouth and out of your heart. So along with hearing it from a preacher, from me, from others, speak it. Number two, you've got to meditate. When you look at that seed, meditate the end product. Meditate the end product. When I put this in me, this is what's going to appear in my life. When I put this in me, this is a picture. When I say black dog, you get a picture. Crying baby, picture. Beautiful flowering plant. See, we words are pictures. You put this word in you and it'll develop a picture. That's why the Bible says cast down imaginations, because the devil's trying to paint a picture. Don't let him paint his picture. You paint over it. Meditate. Number three, study. Study. Get in there. Look at what it means. Compare scripture with scripture. Study. Show yourself approved. Be like the Bereans who took the word of God to make sure what was being preached was really so. Don't take my, you don't need my opinion. You want the word. My opinions are irrelevant. And so are yours, by the way. The word is the only truth. Amen? And it's really not open for your interpretation. It's to be interpreted with the word in the context of its setting. And number four, be a doer. Everybody say, I'm a doer. I'm a doer. Are you a doer? Keep doing it. Amen.